بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما كنا نتحدث عن حجة الوداع فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أذهرنا ولا ندري ما حجة الوداع حتى حمد الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأثنى عليه ثم ذكر المسيح الدجال فأطنب في ذكره. In this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated by Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says we were discussing about Hajjatul Wida, the farewell pilgrimage. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amidst us, and we did not know what Hajjatul Wida was, what the farewell pilgrimage was all about, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then in his khutbah he discussed and he mentioned about Masih al-Dajjal. Dajjal will emerge before Qiyamah. One of the major signs of Qiyamah is the appearance of the Jinn of Dajjal. And we know from Quran and Hadith that he will cause great mischief. He will claim to be Allah. And Rasulullah has given various descriptions in various ahadith about Dajjal. So in this particular khutbah, فَأَطْنَبَ فِي ذِكْرِهِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke in some detail regarding Dajjal. وَقَالَ And then he mentioned, مَا بَعْثَ اللَّهُ مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا أَنذَرَ أُمَّتَهُ أَنذَرَهُ نُوحٌ وَنَبِيُّنَ مِن بَعْدِهِ Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah did not send down any Nabi except that Nabi warned his nation about Dajjal. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and all the Anbiya after him, they warned their nations about Dajjal. So imagine, Dajjal is such a serious matter. We know he will emerge only in this latter ummah of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite that, every Nabi warned their people about Dajjal. وَإِنَّهُ إِنْ يَخْرُجْ فِيكُمْ فَمَا خَفِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ شَأْنِهِ فَلَيْسَ يَخْفَى عَلَيْكُمْ نَبِيَ كَرِيمْ صلى الله عليه وسلم consoled the Sahaba, and he said if he has to emerge amidst you, in other words, when you are alive and Dajjal appears, whatever is obscure and hidden regarding his detailed description and matter, now what is hidden from you, you do not know about him. But on that day when you will see him, it will not be obscure. It will be absolutely clear. You'll know this is Dajjal. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرَ Because Dajjal claims to be Allah, and Rasulullah mentioned a very simple point and a very clear point, and he says that your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not one-eyed. وَإِنَّهُ أَعْوَرُ عَيْنُ الْيُمْنَ And Dajjal has got his right eye, which is one, he's only got one eye, and that is the right eye. So, A'war refers to squint, and he's got only one eye, and that is the right eye, and that right eye also, it is squint. كَأَنَّ عَيْنَهُ عِنَبَةٌ طَافِيَةٌ As though that one right eye of his, it is like a protruding grape, a swollen grape, bulging out. From other ahadith, it is mentioned that in the left, where the socket is, it'll just be wrinkled skin. So he'll have no socket, he'll have no eyes at all, the left eye. The right eye will be one eye only that the Dajjal will have, and it'll be like a grape, bulging bulging out. Then Rasulullah mentioned, أَلَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا وَفِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ قَالُوا نَعَمْ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ شَدْ ثَلَاثًا وَيْلَكُمْ أَوْوَيْحَكُمْ أُنْظُرُوا لَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْدِي كُفَّارًا يَظْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ رواه البخاري وروا مسلم بعضه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم in this khutbah then mentioned, behold, beware, caution, verily Allah Ta'ala has made haram upon you your blood, your lives. In other words, Allah has prohibited you to kill one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sacred your lives and your wealth, like the sanctity of this day of yours, that is Arafat day, fi baladikum hadha, in this area of Makkah, in this month of yours, that is Hajj. Ala hal balaghtu, have I not passed on my message? Sahaba all said, yes, you have passed on your message. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made Allah his witness. Oh Allah, you bear witness. Three times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this. Then he said, woe be to you, be careful, 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 that you do not turn as renegades after my demise by killing one another. By killing one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from taking the lives of one another. And therefore we mentioned this whole hadith has come under the chapter of zulam. In other words, we should not make zulam. And the properties of your Muslim brother, his wealth, etc., it is sacred. It is sanctified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No person should usurp the other person's wealth, property, belongings, or harm him in any way. This tantamounts to zulam. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من ظلم قيد شبر من الأرض طبقه من سبع أرضين متفق عليه. Whoever usurps any person's land, equivalent to only even that amount which is a handspan. You building your property. The next person, your neighbor, he's got an empty land. Without his permission, you take only this amount of land, one handspan. This one handspan, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so severe that this person who usurped, the zalim, this piece of land will be as a yoke around his neck. It will be choking him and he'll be sunk into the earth 7 layers down or 7 earths down on the day of Qiyamah or when this person passes away. This one piece of ground that he took, he moved his land post, he moved his border, his fence a little bit more and he took away just one handspan of the next person's land unjustly without his permission. In other words, he oppressed him. This small piece of land will choke him around his neck and it will sink him 7 earths down. How important it is when we're building properties or whatever it is, not to take any person's land without his permission. وعن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يملي للظالم. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to a zalim. Allah gives him a chance. He continues doing his zulam. Allah still gives him a chance. فَإِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. But when Allah Ta'ala seizes him, after Allah Ta'ala gives him all the chances for him to make amends, make tawbah and give back and repay all those people whose property he usurped and who he made zulam upon. If he does not do that, then Allah Ta'ala, when Allah seizes him, Allah never gives him a break. Allah never lets him loose. ثُمَّ قَرَى. Then Rasulullah mentioned the verse of the Qur'an supporting what statement he made that Allah Ta'ala will never give this person a break anymore. وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَىٰ وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلِيمٌ. That when Allah in this way is the catch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Rabb, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes the nations or the villages which oppress the people, إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's catch is very, very severe. Allah's punishment is very severe. May Allah ta'ala protect us from making zulam. This chapter is a long chapter again, in which Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has brought those various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which explains to us the prohibition of zulam. Zulam is a very, very serious offense, and we should all be careful that we do not oppress any person's right in any way. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana.